we're in staff meeting, and I share this right here. I wrote this sermon three weeks ago, and I was telling myself, guys, this was really cool. Kenny was preaching, and while he was preaching, something really struck me off the page. I started writing it down. I got so excited, and so I told him about this, and then Diane goes on and shares her vision, and Amy says, they're like, oh, I guess I'm supposed to preach it this Sunday. So this, just, you know, this whole morning was orchestrated beyond crazy. So I really believe that. And then Diane calls later and has that word that she wanted to share this morning. And then, of course, Andy gets up. But here's the cool thing. That song we just did for the offertory, we do once every, three, four times a year. And, hey, Ryan, thanks for coming in, filling in. Appreciate it. Guys, that's Ryan. He's a good guy. He fills in for drums. I just got him a call. Thank you so much. Those that know Alan and Kim Adams, that's their son, their in-law. See, buddy. And we thank him for serving this morning. But then I was calling Friday night going, you know what? The message that we have, the theme of Sunday morning, is there any way in the world you could pull Your Love Never Fails off? And she goes, it's already on the list for the offer song. I said, this is just, you've got to be kidding me. When things work this much, you go, I just need to show up this morning. But let's do this. I have a whole page of notes, but we're going to go through because most of what I'm going to preach is what we've already shared. But let's put some word to it. Luke 4 is where we're going to be at. And let's start there and let's just see where we go. But I don't need to keep you all day. I think the Lord has done so much in our hearts this morning. But let's get some word to confirm it, if you would. So starting at verse 1, and Jesus, if you can follow along, Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Being 40 days tempted in the devil, and those 40, he ate nothing. And when they were ended, afterward he hungered. And the devil said to him, if thou be the Son of God, command the stone to be bread. And Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word of God. And the devil take him up to a high mountain, showed him all the kings of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all the power will I give you, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, to whom will I give it? If thou wilt just worship me, and all is yours. Jesus said to him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him shall thy serve. He brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle, a temple. And he said to him, if thou be the Son of God, cast yourself down from hence, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And their hands they shall bear thee up, lest any of thy foot shall dash any foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said to him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he bartered for a season. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit unto Galilee. And there went out fame of him through all the region around. And he taught of their synagogues, being glorified of all. Kenny shared those verses a couple weeks ago, verses 14 and 15. And when I read verse 14, it just jumped off the page. And Jesus returned from temptation stronger, not weaker. Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. After the trial, after the temptation, after the enemy comes after him, he was stronger, not weaker. Anybody realize the purpose of trials in your life is to make you stronger, not weaker? It's not to fail, but to succeed. And there's a lot more of this. Let's just go and do the quick overview. Number one, he was full of the Holy Ghost in verse one. Number two, he was led there by the Spirit. Do you know that God will lead you places that you don't understand why, but he's leading you because you're led by the Spirit. He'll take you places you don't know why you're there, but at the end, you'll look back and realize that's why God had me go through it rather than around it. There are times where he has you go through the middle of it and not around it because there's something in there for you to grow and be stronger. It's not for you to fail, but for you to succeed. The enemy knows areas of our weakness. He watches, he listens. As one preacher used to say all the time, if the Christians would just shut up, the devil wouldn't know where to attack you. We tell everybody all of our problems, and we wonder why, oh, look, I just said it, now it's a problem. Because he can only see. He's not God. He can see and observe everything we're doing, and then he sees our weaknesses. In this case, Jesus, being God, still saw the weakness and the humanity of Jesus. Was Jesus weak? No, but he was hungry. So what's the first temptation he gets? Hey, you lack an area of provision. I'll give it to you if you just go ahead and, you know, go ahead, I'll feed you. The enemy knew that Jesus was hungry. And so he tempted him. The enemy knew Jesus wasn't, he didn't do anything wrong, did he? But he was hungry. The enemy's only going to attack us in areas that he knows that we're susceptible in. And he wants to take that to exploit you and destroy you. Amen? Anybody? He wants to take the areas that you're struggling in, and he wants to exploit them so he can destroy you and not build you up. But God wants to destroy them so you become stronger and overcomer. So when the enemy comes in, like in the, how do you respond? It is written. Jesus returned temptation with the word of God. We've got to be people who live in the word. The second temptation was that, look at all this. I will give you everything. So for the first one being provision related. Anybody ever struggle with money? Food, you know, clothing, what you drive. When provision becomes a problem, there's a lot of times that we make decisions where we're out of fear, out of worry, and yet we're not doing it in faith. You know, you can go out and buy a $5,000 car or a $50,000 car, but if you know that you've heard from the Lord, you're going to be blessed in it. It's all about hearing and obeying the voice of the Lord. And, you know, we can judge the people who buy this or judge the people who buy that. It's not, stop. We have to trust that they're hearing the Lord. And that. But the problem is a lot of times we make decisions in fear and rob ourselves of the blessing of God in our lives. You know, I know for a fact in my life that I've, oh, I had no choice. I got to do this right now. And I do something premature in my timing out of fear, worry, or whatever, out of a lack of faith. And knowing if I would have just waited one more day, one more week, and the provision of the Lord was there in another area, that would have cost a lot less. When we learn to live in faith every day for provision, the enemy is not going to be able to attack us in that area. Amen. But then as you go through, the second one was, when Adam gave over the everything to Satan, he rightfully had authority. He is the power of the prince of the air. So when Satan offered Jesus this as a shortcut to, hey, you can have it all back if you just worship me, he was offering something to Jesus that was legit, just like the enemy does with you. He'll offer you something that seems real, seems good. You're like, oh, that's not a bad idea. That's a pretty good deal. Oh, don't shortcut the process of what God has for you. When you shortcut the process, you circumvent the very thing that God's going to do to give you the blessing. The cross was the way to get it back, not any other way. And Jesus chose the right way because obviously he's God, but he also did not let the enemy's temptation. And the third one was another temptation about, you could do this, your angels, you could call forth this. And he's like, don't tempt the Lord thy God. Either way, the enemy knows where to go and he tries to attack us. He's not stupid. But here's the thing out of verse 14. We're going to hurry through so I can get to my next text. Jesus returned from the trial, from the temptation, in still is the same condition he was in verse 1, in the power of the Spirit. The enemy could not take him down. The enemy could not get him down. The enemy did not win. And this is where I want to be a church. I want to be a church that no matter what you're going through, whether there has been trials, there's been hardships, there's a lot of things going on, the enemy is really wanting to get here. Hold on. That's all the things of the enemy. But look what God has for us. You know, I'll be using the verse all morning, John 10:10, right? The thief comes to what? Kill, steal, and destroy. If something is robbing you of your peace, robbing you of your blessing, it's not from God. If they're stealing something from you, it's not of God. If it's trying to destroy you, it's not of God. God doesn't destroy his people. He loves you. Why would he want to hurt his own children? I share it all the time. If a son asks his father for bread, would he say, no, but here's a stone? Jesus said that as he was teaching his disciples. How much more shall your heavenly Father give to those that ask? This is the Father we have. He wants you to enjoy living in fellowship and relationship with your Father, and he freely gives, and you freely receive, and you're able to operate as a kingdom person. And there's peace and there's joy in that. There's not anxious worry and fear. And this is what we've got to get ourselves to. And these temptations come at us every single day. Every day, whether it's in your mind, whether it gets, and I was just sharing this recently, that when you think of it, when something gets in your head, how many of you know this is true? It gets in your head, and once you process that thought and it gets to your heart, you have developed feelings as if what you heard and felt was true. I'll give you an example of this. One day, I woke up and I had a dream, and the dream was really bad. It was a bad dream about my wife, okay? Just let you know. She was really bad in a dream. She was mean, okay? Not that you can be. You're not mean. That's why it was a dream. So I woke up, and she rolled over. It was like a Saturday morning. She goes, "Hey, honey." And I was so mad at her. I mean, I was mad. And she's like, "What'd I do? I woke up. Does my breath stink?" I mean, I don't know what it was. She was just like, "Ah." And I was so mad. I'm leaving the details out because I was just angry. And I realized, oh, my goodness, that was my dream. We just woke up. She didn't have a chance to get me mad yet. I mean, at least give her a few minutes. But no, nothing. She wouldn't do that, at least that morning. But anyways, I'm getting looked by her. I'm going to stop over here. Either way, those thoughts entered my mind through a dream. I woke up thinking and feeling those things as if it was true, and I had emotion and anger attached to a lie. Isn't that the enemy? He puts a thought in. You believe it. It gets in your heart. And now you know, why am I so frustrated with that person, and yet you haven't seen him for a week? The enemy loves to do this in your mind to destroy you and your relationships around you. We've got to be on guard. Temptation, trials, these things come at us all the time. But we've got to learn to respond with truth, respond with a word, and respond by taking the thoughts captive so we do not let the enemy come in and rob you of your joy and rob you of your peace. Amen? Let's jump to James chapter 1. And while you're there, just remember that this is the purpose of trials is what we're going to go to in James here. And we're going to get through this really quick again so you guys can get some word in you here. But remember as the backdrop of this, remember the three Hebrew children that were thrown in the fire? Remember that? What happened in that story was astounding. They stood up for what was right, and they were punished for it. Not every trial you do is because something bad happened. Sometimes you can be persecuted too. And these three Hebrew children were persecuted. And then they threw them in the fire with their hands tied with the ropes to kill them, right? Remember the story? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What happened in that fire? When the heat was seven times hotter, killed the guard who threw him in, I might add. That's how hot it was. If you don't think it was real fire, it killed him. Seven times hotter. And it said, as they looked in the fire pit, they said, "Whoa, there's not three, but there's four. We only threw three in, didn't we?" What happens in the middle of the fire? God shows up. The fourth person there was not a human being. It was God. And it says, and the three Hebrew children walked out of the furnace with nothing singed except the ropes they were bound when they came in on. Folks, when we understand persecution and trials come, our God is always with us. He is always there to deliver us. He never fails. So no matter what you're going through this morning, as Diane shared, and you see all this kind of goes together, and even what Andy was sharing about physical, whatever you're going through, our God never fails. He always has and is the answer. James chapter 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into. The word fall there actually means have an encounter with. I want to make this clear because this would contradict later if you look at the words wrong. It says have an encounter with diverse temptations. Knowing this, the trying of your faith works patience. Let patience have her perfect work that you might be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Stop there with me. So let's go start from the end, from the beginning. Is that better? So how many of you want that verse to be you? I got two hands. I want to be perfect and entire. I want to want nothing ever again in my life. Anybody? That's where you want to be? Good, I got one hand. Good. So we have a few people who want this. This is what I want. Well, how do we get there? Well, then we got to go start from the back and go this way. So how do we get patience? Because somehow we had to apply faith to a situation that wasn't favorable. So when we go ahead and build this equation, is a trial comes, a temptation comes, something comes at us that wants to destroy you, bring you down, and take you out. And instead, your faith rises. And this is the key here. When a trial comes your way and it tries to knock you out, take you down, and destroy you, this is when the believer, we as people full of faith, stand up in faith and start speaking out against and standing and declaring the word of God over our circumstances. Because when you start living in faith, then you have patience. Jump back to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12, while we're there. It's only a few chapters. I'll read a few verses. It says that do not be slothful, but followers of them through faith and patience inherit the promise. How do you inherit the promise? You operate in the faith that's been given to you. You're walking in faith. The trial comes, and you, instead of react in fear, react with worry, react with anxiety, you respond with faith. You catch this? So something bad comes our way. A bad report from the doctor. Something happens at your job. No matter what's coming our way, instead of reacting and living in panic mode and reacting in fear, we choose to respond in faith. We choose to speak like Jesus did. The word is written. My God will never leave me or forsake you. He is my provision. And so whatever word is the antidote to your this, whatever's going on, he is the solution. The word is the solution. And then you start standing on the word. And then it says, through faith and what? Patience do you inherit the promise. The promise is you're going to be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. That's the promise here. How do you get there? Faith and patience. You know, I used to use this statement I don't use anymore. You ever heard the old joke? Well, if you ever really want to have patience, if you ever really want to learn patience, you have to go through the trial. I don't like that statement no more. You know why? Because it has a connotation that somehow God's going to let something bad happen until he's ready to deliver us from it. Y'all catch that? I don't want to ever project on my God that he lets you go through bad things just to go, okay, I think you've had enough now, I'll pull you out. No, this is on us. We apply faith. We apply patience. And now when we're waiting for the reward, we're not waiting in fear. We're not waiting in worry. We're not waiting in pain. We're waiting with hope. Because what is faith? It's the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not yet seen. And so when we're people who respond to trials with faith, we're responding with expectation that it will work. That Romans 8:28, which we're going to get to in a second, does in fact apply to my life. That he will cause all things to work together for good. For those who love him are called according to his purpose. He causes all things. He didn't say he allows. He causes it. He is the cause of good happening. He didn't go, I took my hands off there. Whoa, good happened. No, he said, I cause it to happen. I make it happen on your behalf. I'm there actively pursuing and working for you so good happens in your life. So when trials come our way, we have to respond in faith and patience. And patience is not losing hope that you know the answer is there. Not allowing the trial to happen. I was reading a testimony. Those that don't know, there's a worship leader back in the, I could go back and look at my sister-in-law. She'll know because she used to. But Dennis Jernigan, remember, I've always been a big fan of him. But he is a great testimony. He came out of a homosexual lifestyle, was saved at a Second Chapter of Acts concert way back, 30 years ago or something like that, before it was popular to do all that. And God, he's got a great family. God's been using him in worship music for years. And he sings a very different style of worship. But we've done a few of his songs over the years. But he's been recently diagnosed with a sickness. I don't know what it is, by the way. Because he just got on the internet, he has a little podcast, and he said, I want to give you an update. I came back, and this is the testimony I want to hear, all you to hear this. I came back from the doctor today, and they had the MRI, and the results aren't looking promising. But I have decided, that's where he stopped, by the way. But I have decided, now I know other podcasts, people it's been out there, what's going on. But I've decided that I'm not going to allow myself to let fear and all this anxiousness come. I'm going to believe God has word. And I'm going to ask you to stand with me that God and his word is coming to pass in my life today. You know, I watched that and I was like, that's so encouraging to me. That we don't exploit the sickness, we honor our God. We call upon his character to manifest with a characteristic that's not his. And I just really believe as a church, we'd stop talking about the problems and start focusing more on our faith and our patience to pursue. We will see ourselves finding joy in the trial. One of my favorite verses I share about this all the time is Hebrews 12, when it says, consider who for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, seeing himself seated at the right hand of God. Jesus saw through the cross and he already saw his victory. Folks, when we start seeing trial is just a way to be more victorious, you're going to look at him different. Man, the enemy's trying. Please, take this out of your vocabulary from this day forward. Man, the enemy's really. Why do we care what he's trying to do? God is good. And we focus so much. Well, the enemy's trying to get me to do this. Okay. And? Why are we focusing on that? When instead, the enemy comes at me, but God. Genesis 50, verse 20 is a verse that I have, for 20 years, has been a really meaningful verse to me. It's why it's this, because Joseph, you know the life of Joseph, and I'm going to cut it really short. I'm taking all those notes out this morning. Genesis 50, verse 20 says this, for what you meant for evil, God turned to good. What's he talking about? Joseph, the coat of many colors, the promised child, the spoiled child, the favorite child. His brothers didn't like it too much. They sell him. They try to get him killed. Surprise, Joseph goes through the trial, gets thrown in prison. You know, being successful, gets thrown in prison. Wait a minute. This life is not very good. Gets sold, slavery, almost killed, back to prison, up, down, up, down. And then he becomes second in command of all over. And his brothers, thinking he was dead, had to go and get some food. And there he saw, Joseph saw his brothers. And he goes, oh, boy. And he did a little trick to make sure they put the cup in there. And he goes, oh, we got to go back and return. But he goes, this time when you return, bring the rest of the clan. Because Joseph wanted the chance to have redemption. And when they came back, dad's dead. He says, hey, by the way, Joe, before dad died, here's what he said. We're just going to summarize it. Don't be mean to us. Don't hurt us. Be good to us. I promise you, man, he really said this. And Joseph's response was simple. He said, no. What you guys meant for evil, look what God did instead. He made me second in command. I'm not doing that bad. You guys are the ones still living in that history, the past. You guys are the ones. I'm not living that way anymore. Do you see? When you walk through the fire, and Joseph made it through the pit experience. He made it through being a slave. He made it through the Potiphar's wife experience. He made it through jail. He made it through all those things to see the promises of God fulfilled in his life. Was it fun? In jail, he was still interpreting dreams. He didn't let the jail cell stop him. We see in Scripture that in the pit, he was praying to God and reminding, God was reminding him, remember the stars in the sky? I told you, those are your inheritance. I'm not done with you. I'm sure he had moments. He is. But look at the end. The end from the beginning is beautiful. The life of Joseph could have been a story where his brothers sold him off, they're jealous, and they killed him. End of story. Instead, but God caused all things to work together for good for those who love him and are called. And Joseph was called by God, and God did the rest. Worship team, if you want to come back up here, I'm done this morning, but I just want to encourage you this morning. 22 minutes. You guys are clapping for announcements. You ought to be shouting for them. I don't need your pitiful applause now. Anyways, whew. Jason's like, that's a miracle, brother. He's like, you witnessed your second miracle today. But look at how we respond to trials. When we respond rather than react, we are going to be perfect and entire, wanting and lacking nothing. Isn't that the life God's called to live? Well, if that's what he's called to, we've got to learn to do a better job responding rather than reacting. Now, hard times come. Tears come. We sang the song, and they're going to do it again without a drummer. I said, she's like, we might not have a drummer. Don't worry about it. Play it again. I want to sing this song, the bridge to it all. We know God causes all things, not some, all things, to work together for good for you and me because we're called by him. If he's called you, he's going to equip you. He's going to empower you. He's going to strengthen you. Now, there's a verse in the song that says, I think it's in the chorus, isn't it? That joy comes in the morning, right? Yeah. Okay, so when we get the chorus, there'll be pain in the night. It doesn't mean pain can't come at you. Sorrow comes. Pain is inevitable in life. But living in it is a choice. Just because someone punches me doesn't mean I gotta live with a black eye the rest of my life. I can choose the path of healing. I can choose the path of forgiveness. I can choose the path of hope. It's my choice. Doesn't mean the pain, it doesn't mean it didn't hurt. Hey, Doesn't mean, you know, divorce hurts. Trials, losing hurts. I'm not minimizing the pain, but I am exploiting the goodness of our God. And that in the midst of pain, he gives you hope. He gives you faith to rise up inside of you to believe I'm an overcomer. There's so many testimonies I could share, but I'm going to stop because I am putting my notes away. I just believe with everything in me this morning that whether it was Diane sharing what she got or Andy sharing his testimony, this morning, do you believe? I believe God is speaking to us. It's time for us to walk in hope, to know that no matter what trial you're encountering, no matter what's coming at you, you are an overcomer. I've asked the team to go and sing this bridge again in the chorus. You're going to have to help them sing. Well, they got some singers, but there's no drums. So we're going to sing this song like we mean it. Can you actually put the words to the bridge up there just because it's such a long bridge? It says, you make all things work together for my good. Would y'all just believe that this morning with me? God causes you to triumph in everything. John 10:10, the thief is the one who comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come. The reason, my purpose of being here on earth was to die for you. But what? So you, that you would have life and life of abundance. What is abundance? It's abundance. It's everything you need. It's everything you deserve. It's you lacking nothing, wanting nothing, and being perfect and entire. Perfect means mature in the process. This is you maturing yourself so you are ready to live a life of joy and peace and abundance. Amen? Let's stand to our feet. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that your word has been confirmed through signs, through miracles, through things. We know that you are God, and we honor your presence in this place today. And I thank you right now that later in the book of James that I left out, it says, when we're tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. You don't do this to us. You're not a mean father, but you're a good father. But it's the enemy who comes in and tries to draw us away. Today, we choose not to be drawn away. We choose not to react in fear and worry, but we choose to respond in faith and patience so we can be perfect and entire, lacking and wanting nothing. Today, I choose the path that my God causes all things to work together for me. So no matter what you're going through this morning, as we sing and declare this bridge and this chorus, would you declare it with the greatest amount of faith you can walk in today? God, you make all things good. God, you make all things new. God, you redeem me, heal me, free me, and love me. Let's sing this morning and let's close this out this morning. Amen.
You make all things work together for my good. And you make all things work together for my good. And you make all things work together for my good. And you make all things work together for my good. And you make all things work together for my good. And you make all things work together for my good. And you stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me.
You stay.
And you stay the same through. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love never changes.
to go, please. God is good all the time. This morning, thanks for coming. I can see all this way. Thanks for coming out this morning. I really believe God is doing something awesome. We are starting the month of December. This is the celebration of Jesus coming to us. And today, he manifests his love for you through healing and through hope. This is how much he loves us. Amen. So go and let somebody else know. Give them a hug on your way out. And then don't forget, leave your kids and get out of here, because that's what we're out to do. Amen.